What's up, Mission? How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. I want to welcome those of you that are online, also out in the lobby and on the patio. It is so good to be together today. I love this community. If you are new to Mission, you need to know we are a community of people where anyone is welcome. No one is perfect. Can I get an amen? No one is perfect. Change is possible because there is hope for everyone through Jesus Christ. That's what we're a part of, and I am so grateful to be a part of a community like this. We're in a series right now called Made New, where we're looking at this book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, it's a book of the Bible. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. So if you just like open the Bible to the middle, you take a right, you'll find Ephesians. It's actually a letter that we have that was written by a dude named Paul. And he wrote this letter to a church, a group of believers in Ephesus. That's why it's called Ephesians. In fact, several books in the New Testament of our Bible are letters that Paul wrote to these different church communities, these different communities of believers, people that had started putting their faith in Jesus after his life, death, and resurrection. They start believing, and these churches start springing up, and Paul writes them these letters. So we're reading somebody else's mail in this series. I know that's usually illegal. This is not. However, because this is God-inspired. These words were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so they transcend time. How cool is that? They transcend time and have the power to reach through history into our lives today. This guy, Paul, he had been through a radical transformation himself. We'll touch on that just a tiny bit. But if you want to read Paul's radical transformation, it's found in Acts chapter 9. That's also the New Testament. Go to the middle, take a right. Acts chapter 9. He's referred to in that chapter as Saul because that was his Hebrew name. But he often goes by Paul when that's his Latin name, when he's talking to communities of people who are Greek or Roman, which is a lot of his letters. And this letter, the one that Paul, we know he's writing it from prison. Dude's always getting locked up for talking about Jesus. Like, this is what his reputation is. He's writing this letter. We know that this letter kind of is the letter that went viral, right? Where he's at in prison and where the church in Ephesus is, there's this huge highway. And so this letter gets circulated and passed along to all these different churches and all these different communities of believers. And it lands in Ephesus, which is what Paul wanted. This was his intent. He wanted everybody to read it. In fact, this is important for us to know. Every time Paul uses the word you in this letter, which is 51 times, it is plural. Like, there are two different words in the Greek for singular you and plural you, and this is the plural you. So really, every time we see the word you, it's y'all. Or, you know, since I'm from Kentucky, it's all y'all. That's what we're seeing. Maybe this was Southern Greece. I mean, who knows? But this is meant to be read as a community. This is like for all y'all. That yes, it is for me, but it's not to me. It's to us. It's meant to be read as a community of believers. And it has been for thousands of years in places like Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth and Rome as it's passed along all the way to Ventura, California. This is an all y'all kind of letter. And there's some things that Paul is passionate about all of us together understanding that we might be made new, but also we might be made into a new community. One of the patterns we see in almost every one of the letters in the New Testament from Paul is that the first half of the letter is all about like what God has done, like who God is, his pursuit, his grace, his mercy, his plan, his sacrifice, and now who we are because of what he has done. And so that's what we've seen and what we're seeing in these first three chapters of Ephesians. And man, if you missed the first couple weeks of this series, encourage you to get on the app, go back and listen, because we've looked at these words like chosen. Like that's who we are because of what he's done. Alive, that's who we get to be because of what he's done. Today, loved. I mean, all of these words are who we are as a result of what he's done. And then next week, we'll kind of turn the corner and you'll see this change, how to live being made new, how to live as a grateful response. And we see words like united is now how we live, righteous, thriving relationally with one another, fitted, That's like for spiritual battle, not just like with drip. But this is this the way that this is broken down in these chapters, in this letter. And listen, they weren't chapters then. This was just a letter. But the first part of the letter, we can't skip over that. This is very intentional and very important, because when we jump over the first part of the letter, we jump over who God is and what he's done and who we are because of that, and we just skip to a lifestyle of checklist, a bunch of do's and don'ts, that just becomes behavior modification. Like, we have to have the context that the way that we live in this new way is out of a grateful response. It's out of trust. It's out of surrender in what a loving God, what a loving Savior has done for us. When we skip that part and we don't grasp who God is and what he's done for us and what's available to us and who we are in Christ, it just becomes religion, right? And religion that can honestly lead to frustration. You've been there? Shame, insecurity, legalism, judgmental attitudes, phoniness, hiding, a whole lot of image management. And that's not what following Jesus is about. It's about an inside-out kind of transformation, not behavior modification. And this is what was so absolutely mind-blowing for Paul, because he had been raised and trained in religion, and he kept all the rules, but he was missing it, and like missing it big time, until he has this encounter with the risen Jesus that literally like knocked him off his horse, it blinded him, and then it like opened his eyes to see what he had never seen before, and it changed everything for him. And it changed his entire life. It was like the mind blown emoji. This was Paul. He's like, whoa, like I've never seen this before. I cannot believe this. This is reality. My mind is blown. And it's like throughout these letters, he's inviting us. He's like, come over. You gotta see this. You gotta see this. Have you ever had your mind blown by something? I love movies, so I immediately start thinking about the first time I saw The Sixth Sense, you know, and you realize that Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. Hey, you know what? If that's a spoiler to you, it's been out 24 years, so I don't really know what to tell you, okay? Or you first see in Star Wars, Luke, I'm your father? What? You know, your mind is blown. I was blown away. I'm a little immature here, but Hans and Frozen, it's like Disney set us up for decades to trust the charming prince, and then he's the bad guy. You know, my mind was just blown, and this is going to date me a little bit, but one of my favorite shows of all time is Lost. And oh man, when they started doing the flash forwards, and Jack says, we got to go back, Kate. We got to go back, and you realize they're off the island. Some of y'all don't even know. You need to binge watch a whole series. But there's something that happens when we see something we didn't see before, when we get something we didn't get before, when something all of a sudden get reveals, man, there's no going back, right? We can't unsee it. And Paul is saying in this letter, he's saying, man, I've seen it. Something's been revealed to me. You gotta see it. In fact, Paul uses a word here. The word is reveal. He uses it several times throughout this letter, but it's the Greek word for apocalypse. And I know when we think apocalypse, like the more modern definition is like the end times and it's all catastrophe and we're thinking zombies, you know, but the original meaning of the word apocalypse is a revelation. It's to reveal, to illuminate, an unveiling, to take the lid off, to uncover something. Paul is like, this event, what has happened because of Jesus Christ has illuminated everything. My mind is blown. You gotta see it. I'm going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter 3, and I just want you to notice and check out how many times Paul is using the word like mystery, something that's hidden, being revealed, being made known, because his mind is blown by what he is seeing in Jesus and because of Jesus. He writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is being revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. He's saying this, the mystery, part of the mystery is it's for all y'all. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may now approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Did you see that? How much Paul is telling us, telling them, there's been a twist. There's been a plot change. Something is happening that's never happened before. We get to know something, see something, experience something that generations before us didn't even know or see, and it is being revealed because of Jesus. It's because of his life. It's because of his death. It's because of his resurrection and what he has done. It has changed everything. I saw this diagram last week when I was studying, and listen, this does not perfectly sum up all the mysteries of Jesus, but it helped me. And the diagram is this. We got the heavens up here. This is God on his throne, and there's an earth down here. People are down here on the earth. But when Jesus came, and he lived his life, and he paid for our sins on the cross, and he conquered death, and he gifted us with the Holy Spirit, this little overlap became a new reality. I mean, scripture tells us over and over again that when Jesus, part of his coming is that Jesus was the one who tore the veil between heaven and earth, that he broke down the barrier between heaven and earth, that he gave us, like we just read, access now to God. So it's no longer humans down here on earth just, you know, running the show as humans do, and God is somewhere up in heaven ruling the heavens, although it may look like that without this revelation, without this illumination, without this seeing a new way. Because when we start to see what Jesus has done and what his life, death, and resurrection means, when we start to put our faith in him and trust him, we're stepping into a new reality. We're stepping into a way of living where heaven and earth are colliding and coming together, a reality where heaven and earth overlap. It's like Miles Morales in the Spider-Verse or stepping into a Doctor Strange portal. Like, it is a brand new reality, and in that spot, in this new reality that we have now because of Jesus, we are being made new. This is where hope is found. This is where change is possible. Paul says when he's talking about this mystery, he's like, this is everything I've been talking about. He said, I already wrote about it briefly. Everything I've been talking about in chapters 1 and 2 is a part of this mystery because of what Jesus has done. He starts chapter 3 with, for this reason, which would make us ask, you know, for what reason? And he's like, everything I've been talking about is available in this overlap, in this new reality of life with Jesus. Here's what's available now to us because of this new reality. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Chosen, Ephesians 1:4. Adopted, Ephesians 1:5. Freely given grace, redemption, forgiveness, given the Holy Spirit, guaranteed an inheritance, alive, power, position, purpose, saved by grace, masterpiece, once far away, but now brought near, reconciled by God for a new community, access to the Father through the Holy Spirit, dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, this is a crazy mystery, but this is a new reality. It's like apocalypse now. Like, our minds are blown. And listen, it is available to every single one of us because of Jesus. And Paul is saying, I just want you to see it. I want you to get it. I want you to experience it. I want you to step into this new reality to be made new because it changes everything. And then Paul closes out this chapter with a prayer. But listen, this prayer is the hinge point of living in a new reality, in this new reality because of what Christ has done. And this is where we see our word for today, loved. Paul writes to all y'all, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul prays that our strength would flow from him, our hearts would be flooded with him, our lives would be rooted in him. And before we move on to this whole, you know, new section of like, now then, this is how we live, he prays, man, that we would grasp the long, high, wide, deep love of Christ. That if we could see anything, if we could get anything, if we could grasp anything about this new reality, it is how loved we are, how loved you are. And I'm talking all y'all, everyone, that living in this new reality, coming into faith in Jesus Christ is to know you are immensely loved, that it was Christ's love that compelled him to the cross. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. Nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He loves you because you're his. I mean, can you imagine how differently we might live our lives, live out of a new reality if we already knew we are radically loved by the God of the universe? We're not searching for that. We're loved every day. Loved before we do anything. Loved before we prove anything. Loved on our worst day. Loved on our best day. Loved through the night. Loved through the pain. Loved when we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see. Loved when we open our eyes in the morning. Loved before you brush your teeth and get out of your sweats. You know, loved when you don't even get out of your sweats. Like, just, we're just loved all the time. It's hard for us to even fathom because we've bought into this type of thinking that we gotta earn it. We gotta strive to be loved. We have to strive to be accepted. We have to prove ourselves worthy. We have to hustle. We gotta get ourselves cleaned up first or we won't be loved. But listen, there is no prerequisite for the love of Jesus. It's who he is. He is love. And it is a mind-blowing reality that we can step into. His love is wide. It's expansive. It's inclusive. It's broad. And no one is beyond its reach. Taken me a lifetime to see this, and I mean, God just keeps widening it and widening it. When I was 12 years old, my family moved from rural Kentucky, a town of 7,000, including the cows, and we went to plant a church in Las Vegas. So, you know, slight culture shock, I'm 12 years old. But we planted a church in a local YMCA, and my dad was the pastor, and he would preach. There's like this large mural of a gymnast behind him, you know, as he's like preaching. But it was amazing. And we set up all the chairs, and we tore them down, and people started coming, and the love of Christ started transforming lives. And it's looking back on those teenage years in Vegas, being a part of that church plant is where I realized and came to understand that the love of Jesus is for alcoholics and exotic dancers and high rollers and the guy digging through his car cushions for another quarter. I saw the love of Jesus Christ transform the lives of wine goddesses at Caesar's Palace and runaways camping in cheap motels and dealers and bangers and addicts. When I was 17, I went on a journey of my own of just running away from God and then his pursuit of me coming back to him. And I discovered, man, the love of Christ reaches even me. The people-pleasing, conning, cheat, impure, deceitful, materialistic rebel changed me. When I was 19, I had the opportunity to live in Haiti for a year. It's a year that changed my life, but I discovered the love of Jesus Christ is for the poor, the forgotten, for the illiterate, uneducated. It's for the oppressed, for the enslaved, for people starving and starving for hope. I saw the good news and the love of Jesus bring people to their feet, clapping outside of mud huts. in our 20s, Mike and I had the privilege of working at some incredible churches in the South and in the Midwest, and I learned that the love of Jesus can transform frat boys and girls gone wild. And the kid that's been showing up in Sunday school since he could breathe, that it was for firemen and farmers and truck drivers and stockbrokers and stay-at-home moms, for rednecks and seminary graduates, for people with secret lives and stagnant faith, for politicians and factory workers and families falling apart and families pretending that they had it all together. So when we moved here and planted Mission 12 years ago, listen, I thought I'd seen it all. And over again, I mean, God has wrecked my heart a million times, saying it's so much wider than you think. So much wider than you know. I've watched the love of Jesus Christ transform so many lives, including my own homeless friends, terminally ill, victims of abuse, Hell's Angel bikers, porn stars, people counting days clean, and over again, it's like God saying, oh, you think you've seen it all? We're just getting started. Because who is the love of Jesus for? Everyone. It's why I love being a part of this community so much, because this is our story, all of our stories in this room, that the love of Christ would reach even us. It's so wide. It's so wide. He went to the cross. He stretched out his arms and said, this much. I love you this much. His love is long. It's everlasting. It never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on you. No, nothing in this long journey can separate you from it. It is constant. I went to the beach this weekend, along with all of Valencia, and I love watching the tide roll in. Something about the tide, man, it's just so consistent. It comes in and it goes out over and over again, and you're never wonder if that's going to come back to shore. This is the love of God. It is constant. It is steady. It never runs out. We don't have to wonder if it's coming today. We can count on it. It's why Scripture tells us over and over again, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love is unfailing. It's limitless. It's steadfast. It will not change. You know, there are not a lot of things in this world that we can say always about or never about. But when we get to know and we step into the reality of the love of Jesus, we get to know that His love will always be there and it will never change. His love is high. Whatever limit you have, I have, with the people we love, God's got no limit. There's no cap on His love. It's higher than the highest emotion you've experienced. It's above whatever the best love you've ever known. There is just no way to measure it. And it's so deep. So deep. When you look at the life of Jesus, you just see, man, He had a way of getting to the deeper places in people. Like, His love went deeper than just healing a physical disability. He healed the places of rejection from being an outcast. You see His love go deeper than forgiving a woman that's caught in the act of adultery. He helps her with her shame. His love went deeper than just unlocking the chains of a boy. He dealt with his demons. His love went deeper than just showing grace to Peter after he denied him. He dealt with his failure. His love went deeper than, you know, accepting the offering from a prostitute. He dealt with her disgrace and esteemed her. We've got the same Jesus. And He reaches to the depths of us, those dark corners of our hearts, those places we don't want anybody to see, the wounds that we've tried to cover up, the rebellion that we've buried, our hidden motives, our secret stuff. His love is not a surface love. It is a deep love, and man, I'm so grateful for the deep places in my heart that His love has covered. What about you? What about you? What if it's true that God isn't mad at you? That He's not disgusted by you? He's not appalled by your depths? What if instead you stepped into reality to know the love of Jesus, to go and get to those deeper places of your shame, your embarrassment, your rejection, your insecurity, your pride, your addiction, your hurt, your failures, and you can find healing in the love of Jesus? Listen, Jesus is not afraid to show up right in the middle of your mess. He shows up right in the middle of mine all the time. And of all the things that Paul would pray that we would, in this apocalypse, this crazy revealing, this new reality, of all the things that he would pray we would get, we would see, we would know, we would experience in this new reality, it is His love. And he prays that we would grasp it. The word used for grass there is the word for rust. It means to literally eat all the way through something. That we wouldn't just know it like, okay, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know. But we would let the love of God eat all the way through us. That we would begin to see it uncovered and step into a new reality and live from the wide, long, high, deep love of Jesus that's available to us. And man, I want that for you too. Because it is a love like no other. It's a love without partiality. One that throughout legality, despite our morality, still suffered brutality. It's a love that extends to our frailty. When our lives were derailed, he posted the bail. He himself took the nails. He discarded the scale. He will not fail me. It's a love that gives us new graces, new life, new freedom, new starts, new embraces from the one who erases, replaces, and leaves no traces of who we once were before he took our places. It's a love in which there is no rejection, no demand for perfection, no judge's objection, but affection, connection, a dead life, resurrection. It's a love so deep, so long, so high. It's a love so steep, so strong, so wide, there is no place in us it cannot fill. No wound in us it cannot seal. No pain in us it cannot heal. And it is for everyone. God, I thank you so much. We are blown away by the reality of your great love. Man, how you love us is so mind-blowing. We just thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity, for the invitation to step into a new reality, to be made new, that we are who you say we are. We are chosen. We are made alive, and we are so deeply loved. And let that new identity change everything about us, God. Would you just illuminate that for us today? Uncover more of your grace and your love to us today. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.